It's a sin, Pet Shop Boys. The lyrics, so I look back upon my life forever with a sense of shame. I've always been the one to blame for everything I have longed to do, no matter where, when, or who, has one thing in common. It's a sin. Yeah, welcome to Mortal Kombat. Yeah. Mortal Kombat is that arcade-type fighting game, and it has spawned one of the highest-grossing media franchises of all time. It includes comic books, card games, animated series, movies, live-action tours. And just curious, how many of you have ever played Mortal Kombat? All right, how many of you are ashamed to admit it? Yeah, the game is known for its fatalities, and instead of knocking opponents out, you have a finishing move that's just deadly. And in this series, Mortal Kombat, I want us to prepare to fight. Prepare to fight some formidable foes, and these opponents do not want to knock you out. They want to take you out. And so the next 7 weeks, we're going to face some deadly opponents. Some of you might know them as the seven deadly sins. And there's no verse in the Bible that kind of isolates and says, hey, these are the seven sins. But a group of theologians got together. This is during the Middle Ages. And they studied the Bible. And they were looking for attitudes or character traits, things that they considered deadly. Things that they believed would reduce your spiritual potential, that they were things that kind of drive a wedge between you and God, you and other people, and they compiled this list, and it has withstood for years. And the seven deadly sins, the seven deadly opponents, we're going to face them. So get ready to fight, all right? Our deadly adversary today is called pride. And this foe has ruined many a life, many of life. James writes in James 4, 6, he says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, Scripture says that the key to power is humility, and the barrier to power is pride. And I want to be clear up front, just fundamentally, there's good pride, okay? That's where you have self-respect, you have dignity, the satisfaction from a job well done, and that's a good thing. But there's destructive pride that's all about conceit, arrogance, attitude of superiority. You know, someone said egotism is the kind of disease that when you get it, it makes everybody else sick, you know. Yeah. There's a story about Muhammad Ali. I was a big Muhammad Ali fan growing up. My mom, actually, we'd watch every fight. That was back when you didn't have to pay to watch the fights. But he was not known for humility, especially early in his career. And they said he was on a plane one time, and the stewardess asked him to fasten his seatbelt. And he wouldn't. He said, you know, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And to which she said, and Superman don't need to fly in a plane either. You know. How many of you know someone with an ego problem? Don't point, all right? I mean, we all do. We all do. Pride is a really easy thing to see in other people. But it's extremely hard to see in ourselves. You know, pride, it's a deadly opponent that we all face. And pride is an ancient adversary. In fact, I think to understand pride, you have to go back before Adam and Eve, to an angel by the name of Lucifer, who had the first fight with pride. I mean, he had a real battle. You know, Isaiah records this, and this is God talking to Lucifer. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, and above the stars of God, I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Lucifer was meistic. In fact, if you count, I will, five times, just in that short little verse, you hear, I will. You know, Lucifer, his pride would result in a great war in heaven. In fact, it would get him and thrown out of the presence of God, and a lot of rebellious angels also got thrown out. Now you fast forward, Garden of Eden, it's perfect. Adam and Eve, they have free reign, basically do anything they want, anything in the garden except one tree. Satan gets in their ear and he tempts them. He says, you know, God knows when you eat that fruit, you'll be like him. And they ate the fruit. You see, pride knocked them out. Pride was the first sin in the world. It resulted in Adam and Eve being thrown out of the garden. It resulted in their death, both physically and spiritually at that point. Friends, pride is a sin. Pride is a deadly opponent, and we've been battling it ever since the garden. You know, pride, it will prevent you from growing. Pride is the forerunner to all the other sins. That's why we're starting with pride. You know, pride will mess you up because it gives you a sense of entitlement or superiority. So if you're sitting there right now and you think, well, I don't need this message, you need it. You really do. And here's the thing, when you think you've got it all together, you lose motivation in your life, you become very vulnerable, you open yourself up to defeat, and the reason why you open up to defeat is because you quit learning, you quit growing, you quit developing, and you quit trying to change. You know, some of the most prideful people, you know, they're hard to figure out sometimes, and I know some think that it's the loud and the person that's just you know, gets on your nerves about I. But the fact is, some of the most prideful people that I know are actually very meek. They're mild. In fact, sometimes they're very cautious. You know, Proverbs says, do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for them. Ouch. There's three types of pride that I want to take on today. And the first one is the one that I think most people think of when they think about pride, and that is, I am better than you, pride. And it's a serious issue, and it's a sin. And it's deadly because it basically says, you're not as good as I am. That's the kind of pride. It's the type of pride that, again, easy. It's really easy to see in other people, but it's hard to see in yourself. You know, how's that type of pride play out, you know? Well, a lot of times it shows itself by a person being highly critical, you know, having a very critical heart, critical attitude in their life. You see it in, like, spiritual pride. I notice it quickly there because people go, well, look at them. Yeah, they don't have a clue. What's wrong with them, you know? We worship the right way. They're wrong how they worship. You know, everybody else's theology is wrong. I've got to mark it on it, you know. I can't believe they did that. I'm way too mature to do that kind of thing, have that kind of behavior. You hear it. You know, sometimes you see pride in marriages. You know, it's got this deadly dynamic going on that kind of says, I'm always right. And you're always wrong. You see, that kind of pride tries to put that other person in their place. And I know this morning, some of you, pride is killing you. Because you believe that you're the only one that can do it right. And as a result, you are the only one doing it. And the main problem is you don't have the energy, the time to do it all. And consequently, you're stressed out, you're frustrated, you're angry, you're weary. I'm better than you. That kind of pride? Well, it's dangerous. It's very dangerous. You know, Jesus told a story. He told a story about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And the Pharisees, they were known for being kind of having this righteous appearance. They wore fancy religious clothes everywhere they went. They wanted everyone to know who they were. And they would display their religious superiority all the time. Basically made a production out of their faith. Tax collectors, well, they were despised. And they were hated. They were considered traitors because they were helping the Roman government. And tax collectors were known as cheats and thieves because it was very common that, let's just say so we can understand it today, let's say you owed $3,000 in taxes. Well, a tax collector would demand like $4,000 and they would keep the difference. And there wasn't an appeal process back then. You had to pay it. The force of Rome stood behind the tax collectors. So Jesus says, a Pharisee showed up at the temple one day to pray, and it says the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers. Apparently he's looking around and he goes, even like this tax collector over there. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. Pride. And then Jesus contrasts that. He says, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Can you see the difference here? Can you hear the difference between the two? And it's interesting because Jesus says, I tell you that this man, he's talking about the tax collector, that couldn't look toward heaven. It says, I'm a sinner. This man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. Here's what I find kind of ironic or funny maybe, is some of you, as I'm reading that story, you're thinking, well, thank goodness I'm not like that Pharisee. Wait for it. Ouch. You know. Friends, God opposes the proud. Pride is deadly. Pride is a sin. I mean, how many of you know if you're struggling with this type of pride? I mean, how do you know that? Well, friends, you know it because you have a difficulty like asking for help. Well, I don't want to bother anybody. You know, I'll just do it myself. You know, someone wants to help you or bless you. You kind of push it off. Pride. How about this? How about it? You pray once in a while. You know, it's kind of on and off in your life. Well, that kind of indicates that there are times you think you don't need God. Pride. Pride will cause you to deny that you have weaknesses in your life. You know, it's kind of, well, if I knew my faults, I mean, I can't think of any, but, you know, I'd work on them if I had some. Really? You know, Proverbs 10:17 says, those who accept instruction are travelers on the road to a what? Meaningful life. But those who refuse correction wander off and pave a path to what? Ruin. Pride will keep you stuck. you know, got a problem in your marriage. Well, I'm not talking about it. Pride, got money issues, but you won't seek help. Won't accept advice. Pride. You know, you're not cutting it as a parent. You know, not making it at work. You're emotionally or physically struggling. I love this one. We hide it really well. We go, yeah, I just don't want anybody to know about it. So I'm not going to seek any help. I'm not going to ask for any. Pride, 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 pride. Pride strikes, friends, with deadly precision. It's a sin. It will take you down, and ultimately, it'll take you out of the game. You know, I would suggest rather than look smart, be smart. How? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Still not sure if it's an issue in your life? Well, ask yourself, are you teachable? Are you teachable? Pride prevents you from growing and being who God created you to be. Second type of pride is the rules don't apply to me. You know, I'm important. You know, I can do what I want to do. I'm an exception to the rule. And what's interesting is a person with this kind of pride is about everybody else following the rules, you know, when it works for them. Have you noticed this in our society today? You know, if someone breaks the rule and it affects a person with a lot of pride, if it affects them negatively, they're incensed about it. But when they break the rule, well, it's okay. You know, they qualify or see themselves as the exception as needed, you know. I mean, this mentality, I think it starts out small, but then it kind of grows. You know, I was in express lane a while back, and I was in the grocery store, and the lady just cuts in front of me, and she goes, "Sorry, I'm in a real hurry." And so I could hear people in the back further in the line, and one of the guys is like, "Hey, lady, the back of the line's back here." And she replied, "I know, but I'm in a hurry. I've got things to do." And the guy right behind me, he's like, "Lady, it's an express lane. You know, 15 items or less." She didn't say anything. She just kind of kept her head down. Now, I'll tell you, her cart was overflowing. It was ridiculous. And I started counting the items in her bass cart. I know, I need counseling. But anyway, I'm counting them. She gets to the cashier, and she goes, "I'm in a hurry, and yeah, I know I have a few more than 15. And I'm like, "You've got 63, lady." You know, it's like, I didn't say it, but I thought it. But the entire time, and I'll be honest, the entire time, I'm going, who does this woman think she is? You know, what is wrong with people? Pride. You see it all the time. You know, people park in the fire lane. You know, disabled parking when they don't have a placard. They double park from time to time. You see it out in the traffic. Everything's at a standstill, and somebody's driving on the shoulder. Yeah, why? Why? Because they believe that they're special, they're in a hurry, and that they are the exception to the rule. Friends, pride. And pride just tears things apart. I mean, when you start thinking the rules don't apply to you, well, watch out. You know, I know Christ followers that they'll go, "I know what Scripture says, but pride." And by the way, pride, it always comes with a big but, all right? "I know what God says about forgiving, but pride. I know what God says about giving the first fruits of income, la, 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 but I know what God says about adultery, but pride, pride, pride. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament, King David, the scripture says it was a time when kings went off to war. It was kind of the rule. David didn't go. David wasn't where he was supposed to be. And he ends up in a mess. You know, the story unfolds, says, you know, while he was up on the palace roof, he looks across, he sees a woman, she's naked, she's bathing. And so he sees her, he likes what he sees, and he sends his servant to bring her to him. Now I'll make a long story very short. He commits adultery with Bathsheba. Bathsheba was the wife of a good friend of his that was off at war, and he gets her pregnant. And so David arranges for her husband to be moved to the front lines so that he'll die. And he marries her then, and it's this big cover-up. See, David believed the rules don't apply to me. Well, the prophet Nathan, he calls David on this ultimately. He comes to David, and he does it kind of sly-like because he tells him a story. He tells him a story about a rich man that had a lot of sheep and cattle and a poor man that has just one sheep. And it was his cherished sheep. Think pet. It was his pet, basically. The rich man prepares dinner for the poor man, and instead of butchering from his vast herds, he has one of his servants kill the poor man's loved sheep, and he serves it for dinner. David hears this, and he's like, that is awful. I mean, who does this guy think he is? That man needs to be punished for what he did. And scripture says that Nathan said to David, you are the man. See, it's easy to see pride in other people. In fact, you can point it out real quick. But it's very easy to dismiss pride in your own life. And so let me say this as loving as I can. When it comes to pride, you're that person. We all are. You know, is there an area in your life that you're battling pride? FYI, we all have an area. Identify it. Come to terms with it. You know, Proverbs 20:27 says, the Lord gave us a mind and conscience. We cannot hide from ourselves. See, pride will cause you to run around and try and project some false image of who you are. And here's the deal. You may fool everybody, but you cannot fool yourself, and you cannot fool God. And if you want to take on this deadly opponent, I mean, if you want to finish him, you got to learn to humble yourself before God. And if you're going to finish this foe, I think there's a combo breaker I'm going to give you here to get a handle on it. And the first thing is, you need to admit your weaknesses. You need to admit your weaknesses. Proverbs 28:13, it says, you will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them and give them up. Then the Lord will show you mercy. Humility, it starts with owning your weakness. I don't have it all together, and neither do you. No one has arrived. We're all growing. But we got to understand. We got to understand our weaknesses, and we got to evaluate our strengths. You know, be realistic about your strengths. You know, Romans 12:3, Paul writes this. He says, don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself or your importance, but try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities by the light of the faith that God has given to you all. Humility is truth-based. Truth will what? Set you free. Humility is not denying your strengths, okay? Everybody here has God-given talent. You're talented in some areas. You're also weak in some areas. Sane evaluation of who you are, and don't get caught up in comparing yourself to other people. Parents, you need to teach your kids this. It's a great thing that'll see them through life. But Galatians, Paul writes, he says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. Regular evaluation of your strengths and your weaknesses. In other words, you know, how am I doing? Am I growing? Am I making progress in this area or that? But notice the caution that's there. Take satisfaction in your accomplishments without comparing. And here's the problem with comparing. You will find someone that's not doing as well as you. That will lead to unhealthy pride. Or you'll find someone who's leaving you in the dust. Well, that'll lead you to discouragement. You know, either way, comparisons are destructive. You know, don't compare. Just do your very, very best at whatever it is you do. Enjoy success with an attitude of gratitude. You know, Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, what are you so puffed up about? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if all you have is from God, why act as though you're so great and as though you have accomplished something on your own? Everything good comes from God. Not some things, everything good comes from God. So be very, very careful, friends. Pride is a sin. Yeah, but I built this business on my own. I did it with my own two hands. I did this and I did that. Look what I did. Well, friends, who gave you the hands? Who gave you the energy? Who gave you the talent? Who gave you the opportunity? Who gave you the creativity? Who gave you the DNA that's allowed you to accomplish what you've accomplished? Friends, everything that is good is a gift from God. You need to remember the source. You need to live with an attitude of gratitude. You need to remember that blessings abound when you embrace humility and humble yourself. Humble yourself. James says it this way. He says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will what? Lift you up. Anybody need lifted up? Humble yourself before God at your job, at school, wherever it is. Humble yourself. Friends, you do not need to promote yourself. God will do it. God's really good at it. In fact, God will lift you up when, if you're honest, you don't deserve to get lifted up. But God will do it if you humble yourself. I love what Jesus said. Matthew 5:5 says this, happy are those who are humble. They will receive what God has promised. Look at that. There's a connection between being happy and being humble. Pride, it's a sin. We don't like that word, do we? But it is, it's a sin. At the end of the song, It's a Sin, if you listen to the original recording by the Pet Shop Boys, there is a Latin prayer And it's almost inaudible at the end of that song. But I've got the translation going to be up here on the screen. And the last line, it's from the song, okay? But the can we bring the prayer up there? Thank you. We're gonna stand and we're gonna pray this together. So let's stand up. It's a prayer. I'd like you to think about pride as we pray it. And in unison, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words and in what I've done and what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault, Father, forgive me. Amen. Our holy God, God, I pray that we'd lay our pride down. Lord, that we all battle it somewhere. God, just allow your Holy Spirit to give us vision to see where it is, to recognize it is sin. God, help us to be the people you've called us to be, you created us to be. God, we humble ourselves before you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. There'll be prayer teams down front. You need prayer. Maybe something's happened this week. I say this every week, but you can come down and say, hey, here's what's going on. Pray for me. Or you can just say, I need prayer, and they'll pray for you. So let's worship together here. Go ahead and have a seat. Let the song minister to you.